Chapter 16, The Evidence of Rapid Formation. Well, hey, how many of you guys know that as a Christian, we're supposed to witness to people, i.e. that we're supposed to tell other people about Jesus? Okay, but here's the problem. For some reason, our greatest fear seems to be rejection, right? And so wouldn't it be great if we had a little incentive to help us move past this fear and start being a faithful witness? Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, hey, that's right, I'm here to help you out. If witnessing for Jesus is just too scary for you, then maybe this guy could help put the fear of God back into you. Maybe we could have an evangelism linebacker follow you around wherever you go and body slam you every time you don't witness. Wouldn't that be great? Now obviously that's not likely to happen, so here's the point. If there was such a guy as the evangelism linebacker and he did come across your path today, would he give you a high five, or would he clobber you? And for those of you who don't want to admit you'd have some serious bruises, let me once again help you out. If being pressured by an evangelism linebacker isn't your cup of tea, then maybe you should try creation versus evolution. Why? Because apparently it's a great way to share the gospel. Just ask this person.
I wish there was some way that all of you could know the impact you've had on my life, on my family, and very specifically on my best friend Holly. When I met her, she was very wishy-washy in everything, especially the Christian faith. I was never completely sure she was even born again. However, since she has watched some of your tapes on creation versus evolution, her life has changed. She is getting baptized August 13th and is attending a church that believes the Bible is actually true. Thank you.
Now folks, I don't know about you, but it sure sounds to me like this creation versus evolution thing really is a powerful way to share the gospel. How about you? And people, that's precisely why we're going to continue in our study, The Witness of Creation. And what we've been doing is taking a look at the five different evidences of creation that God has left behind for us, showing us that He's not just real, but that we really can have a personal, intimate relationship with Him, the Creator of the universe. And so far we've seen the first evidence God left behind for us showing us this amazing truth was the evidence of an intelligent creation. And then in the last five chapters we saw the second evidence was the evidence of a young creation. And so far we've seen the first problem with evolution is that it actually calls Jesus Christ a liar. And the second problem was that it calls God the Father a liar. And then in the last chapter we saw the third problem was that it even calls God's word a liar. How? Because even though Bible clearly says that God created everything in six literal days, evolution says, no, 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 the Bible's got it all wrong, life was created in millions and billions of years, right? Therefore, we took a look at another one of their supposed proofs they used to say we've been here millions and billions of years, and that was that geologic column thing, remember? And what we discovered was that this dirty column is actually full of dirty lies. It's one of the biggest fantasies of all time. Why? Because as we saw, it's based only in the mind, it's based on circular reasoning, and it's botched by the evidence that we do find with limestone, trees and human fossils throughout the layers. But you might be thinking, okay, wait a minute. So the geologic column, just like all the other dating methods, doesn't hold any bearing on a young creation, but what about the supposed early formation of the Earth? You know, where the rocks and caves and fossils and stalactites and stalagmites that are supposed to take millions of years to form. I mean, doesn't that prove the Earth is millions and billions of years old? Well, it would if it really took a long slow process for those things to form. But the problem is they don't take a long slow process to form. In fact, in every single case, they form quite rapidly. How do I know? Well, the first evidence of a rapid Earth formation is from the rocks. And folks, before we take a look at how the rocks do that, let's take a refresher course in the evolutionary answer as to the supposed origin of the Earth. Here's their typical textbook response.
It is supposed that all the planets that now revolve around the Sun were once part of a common mass of gas. Hey, forget the Big Bang, it was the Big Bean, in the form of a vast sphere, which was very large and very hot. This gradually lost its heat and shrank as most bodies do when they cool. If it was not already whirling round at the outset, it must have come to do so as it shrank, and as more and more of its heat was lost, it rotated more and more rapidly. As the main mass kept on cooling and shrinking, and whirling faster and faster, it separated into rings, and each of these rings also kept on cooling and shrinking, and is supposed to have gathered at some point into a globe, but still in the form of fiery gas, even though it had lost much of its heat. But at last this globe of gas cooled so much that the main part of it became liquid, which afterwards became the solid part of the Earth. It then had the form of lava, and was still too hot for the water to condense and remained in the form of steam or vapor. But at length the globe of lava cooled so that the outer part crusted over, and this crust grew thicker and thicker as time went on. After a while it became cool enough to permit the water to condense on the surface, and so the ocean began to be formed. And this left the gases behind, and they formed the air much as it is today. And that is the way the atmosphere is commonly supposed to have come about. But all this is theory. It cannot now be proved. Then why do you teach it as fact?
Now folks, have we not all had this typical explanation drilled in our heads from wee high that it took millions of years for the Earth and its rocky crust to form, right? Of course it's commonplace. But the point is this. What most people don't realize is this is not only a personal theory, it's pure baloney. How do I know? Well, the first reason we know the Earth wasn't formed millions and billions of years ago is because the Bible says so.
Genesis 1:9-10. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good.
Now folks, according to our text we can clearly see that God did not take billions of years to create the earth, did he? No. He did it on one of the literal 6 days, specifically the third day, right? But not only that, what else did it say? Did the earth come out of a hot molten mass of lava? No. It came out of the water, right? But you might be thinking, now wait a second, how can that be? I mean, surely it had to be hot lava, right? Well, actually no. In fact, it can't be. Why? Because the second reason why we know the Earth wasn't formed millions and billions of years ago is because polonium halos say so. Let's take a look at what's been called nature's tiny secret.
Etched within Earth's foundational rock called granite, are tiny colored spheres called halos that are produced by the radioactive decay of polonium. What is interesting is how the recent discovery of these polonium halos contradicts the evolutionary belief that granite formed as hot magma slowly cooled over millions of years. Consider the following analogy. A speck of polonium in molten rock can be compared to a hand grenade dropped into a pond of water. The explosion of the grenade would send shrapnel outward in a circular diameter or sphere under the water until the shrapnel would land on the floor of the pond. If it were dropped in molten rock, the traces of shrapnel would disappear almost instantaneously and no traces would be left. However, if the grenade was dropped in a pond and somehow instantly frozen at the point of explosion, then the shrapnel would be preserved in a frozen sphere. Now here's the point. It has been discovered that these polonium halos are found frozen, if you will, all over the world in granite. And just like the grenade in the pond, the only way polonium halos could have formed is if they were instantly encased in solid rock. In fact, if the rock was ever a hot molten mass, there could not be any traces of these halos. They would have been destroyed. Therefore, polonium halos are undeniable evidence that a sea of primordial matter quickly froze into solid granite, almost instantaneous, and therefore reveals that rocks, let alone the Earth, was formed in a very short time, in complete harmony with the biblical record of creation.
Now folks, I not only find it interesting that polonium halos prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Earth could never ever have been a hot molten mass, let alone for billions of years, but what's even more interesting is how the scientist who discovered these halos had been treated by the evolutionists themselves. At first they praised his discovery. That is, until they put two and two together and found out it debunked evolution. So now they refuse to publish his articles and avoid him like the plague. I wonder why. Oh, but that's still not all. The third reason why we know the Earth wasn't formed millions and billions of years ago is because modern science says so. People, not only does the Bible and polonium halos prove the evolutionary scientists wrong, but so does science itself. How? Because a recent invention has proven that rocks do not need millions and billions of years to form. They can actually be done in just a few days. Let's take a look at this new invention.
Recently, some Australian scientists have developed a revolutionary new chemical process that transforms loose sediment into rock within days. The invention does not use strange, synthetic materials, but mimics natural processes. Contrary to the general impression, it does not take millions of years to produce sedimentary rock. All it takes are the right conditions. The rapid rock invention has many practical uses, including strengthening weak foundations, stabilizing embankments, and strengthening tunnels. One of the first projects was to repair a historic tunnel in Western Australia that was dangerous and closed to the public. After only 3 applications, the tunnel was strengthened, and the method saved lots of money. However, what's interesting is that when a group of creationists called one of the inventors to point out that this invention proves that rocks do not need millions of years to form, he never replied back to them, and only later in article did he have this response.
"We had some inquiries which appeared strange.
When I looked into them, I realized that they were from a group of creationists trying to disprove Darwin's theory of evolution.
I didn't call them back."
Now folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say somebody doesn't want to listen to the facts. How about you? And gee, could it be because those facts clearly reveal that there's no need to think the Earth had to be billions of years old? I kind of think so. Oh, but that's not all. The second evidence of a rapid Earth formation is from the caves. Hey, how many of you guys have heard it said that it takes millions and millions of years to form a cave? Aha, it's commonplace. In fact, here's the typical textbook response.
"New Mexico's Carlsbad Caverns have been said to have begun forming some 60 million years ago by the action of groundwater on the original beds of limestone. As acid rainwater fell on the limestone beds, it nibbled away at the rock until hair-thin cracks appeared. More rain trickled down, enlarging the cracks and forming paths. Paths widened into tunnels. Tunnels crisscrossed and grew into rooms, and hence we have caves."
Now folks, does that sound familiar or what? How many have heard something like that on a cave tour? But the question is, does it really take millions of years to form a cave? I don't think so. How do I know? Well, the first reason why we know caves were not formed over millions and billions of years ago is because the Bible says so.
Psalm 104:6 to 8. "You covered it with the deep as with a garment, the waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke the waters fled, at the sound of your thunder they took to flight, they flowed over the mountains, they went down into the valleys, to the place you assigned for them."
Now folks, according to our text we can clearly see that God caused a literal worldwide flood, and after it was over, what happened? The water fled or receded over the mountains and down in the valleys, right? And how many of you would say that the earth being covered with water for that long of a time would make the dirt just a little bit soft? And gee, what does rapid moving water do to soft mud? Hey, it erodes it away and causes all kinds of things, like maybe even caves, right? But you might be thinking, but wait a minute, could a worldwide flood really be what caused the caves all over the world? I kind of think so. Why? Because the second reason why we know caves were not formed over millions and billions of years ago is because modern geologists say so. Let's take a look at another article about the process of a worldwide flood causing the caves and what a modern geologist recently discovered proving its validity.
First, as the floodwaters receded, uplift and other earth movements would fold and tilt the sediment layers all over the earth, causing massive erosion and pressure causing sediment to be piped out, creating channels of both vertical and horizontal water flow, carving out caves in no time. Second, the acids from decaying organic matter at the surface and below would tend to develop even more cave systems. And third, when the excess groundwater had been largely drained away and the caves dissolved out, the water table would then be at a lower level so that the caves would become filled with air instead of water. And under such conditions, coupled with continued downward drainage of excess surface and near surface waters, would finally bring the rapid depositing of stalactites, stalagmites, and flowstone in the cave systems. In fact, geologist Dr. Steve Austin has studied water chemistry and flow rates in a large cave containing area in central Kentucky. He concluded that a cave 59 meters long and 1 meter square in the famous Mammoth Cave upland region of Kentucky could form in just 1 year. If even remotely similar rates of formation occurred elsewhere, huge caverns obviously could form in a very short time, just like the Bible said.
Now folks, I don't know about you, but I not only find that geologist's discovery quite interesting, but I'd say it clearly reveals there's no need to think it takes millions and billions of years to form a cave. How about you? Oh, but that's still not all. The third reason why we know caves were not formed over millions and billions of years is because stalagmites and stalactites say so. People, not only does the evolutionist falsely state that it takes millions and billions of years to make a cave, but they also falsely state that it takes millions of years to make the cave formations themselves. But once again, is that true? I don't think so. Let's take a look at some actual examples of stalagmites and stalactites discovered, and you tell me if they really need millions and billions of years to form.
1. The George Rogers Clark Memorial, built on the bank of the Wabash River at Vincennes, Indiana, has water percolating down through the cracks in the building into the basement just as it does in a nearby famous cave called the Blue Springs Cave. And the result is that there is the same kind of formations found in that memorial as are in that cave. Stalagmites, stalactites as well as five columns 11 feet tall are found in the basement. The problem is that this building was only 40 years old when these pictures were taken. 2. In Wyoming, a giant pile of flowstone was made in less than 100 years. In 1903, some guy took a pipe and stuck it in the ground because the hot mineral water was bubbling up. He made it bubble up through the pipe, and in less than 100 years they had a giant flowstone pile. 3. Guides to limestone caves usually say that such large lumps of limestone take many thousands, even millions of years to grow. However, a large stalagmite shawl was found in an abandoned gold mine tunnel in central New South Wales, Australia, only 140 years old. 4. The National Park Service has actually pointed out that there's an interesting stalactite in the foundation room of the Lincoln Memorial due to water seeping through the cement. However, the foundation room is not open to the public and is not an official stop on every tour. Could it be because a photograph taken in February 1968, showing a curtain of stalactites growing from the foundation, some of which were 5 feet long? Keep in mind this is only 45 years since the memorial was built in 1923. 5. At the Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, are seen stalactites growing on the cement wall steps between the university's Anderson Hall and Gladfelter Hall. Right below the stalactites, some stalagmites are forming. Although only several inches high, they have all formed since the concrete stairway of Gladfelter Hall was built in May of 1973. 6. One person shared this story. Our family arrived early at the Molly Kathleen Gold Mine, eager for the tour of our lives. We were 1,000 feet inside the earth. Stalactites and stalagmites were everywhere. Columns were everywhere. An old wooden chair had stalagmites sitting on it. A small stalagmite was even growing up from a discarded explosives container. I thought back to my early evolutionary long-age training, when I was told that such wonders took hundreds of thousands, even millions of years to form. I thought of natural caves I had toured where I had been given a similar story, and believed it without question. But here, before my eyes, I was looking at things that should not exist. The owner of the mine explained that they only began growing since 1961, once the mining operations ceased and the airflow to the tunnels was shut off. In fact, there had been an amazing growth in the last 20 years, and some of the formations were only 5 or 10 years old. 7. Massive stalactites dozens of feet long were discovered in a man-made tunnel of a lead zinc mine in Queensland, Australia. The mine was only 55 years old when they were photographed. 8. In October 1953, National Geographic published a photo of a bat that had fallen on a stalagmite in the famous Carlsbad Caverns, New Mexico, and had been cemented onto it. The stalagmite had grown so fast it was able to preserve the bat before the creature had time to decompose.
Now folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say those stalagmites and stalactites clearly reveal there's no need to think it takes millions and billions of years for those formations to form, how about you? Oh, but that's still not all. The third evidence of a rapid Earth formation is from fossils. People read a textbook or watch a kid's cartoon, and what is the mantra drilled into our heads over and over again about fossils? They say it takes millions and millions of years for fossils to form, right? But once again, the question is this: is it true? Does it really take millions and millions of years to form fossils? I don't think so. How do I know? Because the fossils themselves say so. Let's take a look at some recent fossil discoveries, and you tell me if it really takes millions of years for fossils to form.
1. A fossilized hat was recently discovered that had turned completely to rock. Could this be a caveman's hard hat? I don't think so. 2. A rubber-soled boot containing a petrified human cowboy leg, bones, and all was discovered. It was found in a dry creek bed near the West Texas town of Iran in about 1980. The boot was handmade by the M. L. Leddy Boot Company of San Angelo, Texas, which began manufacturing boots in 1936. Gayland Leddy, nephew of the founder, believes the boot was made in the early 1950s. What is interesting is that only the contents of the boot are fossilized, not the boot itself. The specimen has been dubbed the Limestone Cowboy. 3. A petrified tree was found in Arizona's Petrified Forest. The only problem is that this specimen of a petrified tree clearly shows the unmistakable markings of an axe. Therefore, the logical question is, who chopped wood in Arizona's Petrified Forest before the trees became petrified? 4. A petrified bowler hat from a village was found that was buried after a volcanic explosion in New Zealand. 5. Also, a petrified ham from the same village was found. Not recommended for making sandwiches. 6. A fossilized human finger was discovered in the mid-1980s. It was found by a landowner where road gravel was being quarried. You can actually see the fingernail impression still on the finger. Also, when the finger was x-rayed and examined, you could see the skin layers, tendons, marrow, and bone. Someone was obviously rapidly buried in some catastrophic event. 7. A well-preserved worm fossil was found in Somerville County in Texas. 8. A mummified dog was recently discovered in a tree. A man named Don Brown has the dog in Southern Forest World Museum in Waycross, Georgia. This 4-year-old dog was found 20 feet up inside this chestnut oak, possibly getting trapped after chasing something, and turned to stone in only a few years. 9. A fossilized fish as it was giving birth was discovered. Obviously, it does not take millions of years to give birth. This shows that the fossils of this nature must have been buried suddenly, otherwise they would have rotted or been devoured by scavengers. 10. And finally, a series of 14 human footprints was that crossed over at least 134 dinosaur tracks was discovered in a recently exposed rock, the bed of the Palaxy River, near Glen Rose, Texas. The drought of 1999 revealed the entire trail in dramatic detail. As one person put it, this shows that somebody missed the boat.
Now folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say the evidence of those fossils clearly reveal there's no need to think it takes millions and millions of years for them to form. How about you? In fact, I'd say the whole evolutionary idea of an old creation and all these huge old dates they give us is one of the biggest con games of all time. How about you? Aha. Uh-huh. And gee, I guess that's why these guys said this.
Dr. Tien Tarmizhan, Atomic Energy Commission, USA. Scientists who go about teaching that evolution as a fact of life are great con men, and the story they are telling may be the greatest hoax ever. In explaining evolution, we do not have one iota of fact. Malcolm Muggeridge, journalist and philosopher, University of Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. I myself am convinced that the theory of evolution, especially to the extent to which it's been applied, will be one of the great jokes in the history books of the future. Posterity will marvel that so flimsy and dubious an hypothesis could be accepted with the incredible credulity that it has.
Now folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say based upon what we've seen over the last 6 chapters on the evolutionary dating methods, I couldn't have put it better myself. But you might be thinking, okay, so maybe the evolutionary dates for an old creation are a bunch of baloney and holds no bearing on a biblical young creation. But speaking of caves, what about those supposed cavemen stories, and how they say we evolved from an ape-like ancestor, and what about natural selection and mutations, and all that other stuff they use to explain how we supposedly evolved? What about that stuff? Hey, great question. I guess that's why we're going to begin a new study called, A Special Creation. Did we come from an ape, or were we specially created by a special god for a special purpose? We'll get to that in the next book.